And good Wednesday, everyone. This is Fred Jackson again, and this is the midweek edition of The Awakening. Great to have you with us today. We're counting down for our new host that is coming on Monday of next week. It's been a pleasure to be filling in here. A number of us have been involved in filling in, of course, for Bishop Jackson, who decided to run for president of the United States, and that meant he couldn't continue on the air here. But we're looking forward to our new host, Todd. Our new host will be with us on Friday, so you'll get to know him a little bit before he takes over the chair on Monday. And he comes well qualified, but most importantly, with a heart for the Lord. So we're looking forward to that. Meantime, let's return to the news of the day. The vote results are in on that special vote yesterday in Ohio. And you will remember up front, it was a vote about changing the parameters of changing the Constitution in that state. The vote was to change it to 60% must agree to an amendment to the state constitution instead of the current 50 plus 1%. And the bid to move it up to 60% failed. But behind all of that was really abortion. And the reason that Republicans and many conservatives in the state of Ohio wanted to push it forward to a 60% was because there is going to be a ballot initiative in November when there's another vote. And the pro-abortion side has made it known that they plan to have an initiative there that basically would allow for abortion pretty well at any stage, unfettered abortion in that state. As we've been talking about the last couple of days, a vote for yes would be a vote to move that parameter up to 60%. A vote for no would be to keep it at 50%, making it easier for the pro-aborts to pass that initiative in November. Well, when the results came in last night, there was certainly no question about it. The no vote won by a very large margin. We had talked about, I think on Monday, the fact that early voting was extremely heavy, historic highs. About 700,000 people had voted on Monday, or up to Monday. And what we found out last night was that the vast majority of those who voted early, of that 700%, about 70% had voted no. One of the big stories coming out of this, too, was the outside money. The pro-abortion forces put about $15 million into the campaign. So, as some conservatives we talked to in Ohio this morning said, okay, we lost this, but now we have to move on to the fight to save the unborn. And that's what's going to be on the ballot in November. Linda Harvey of Mission America it says this really is all about abortion. Cut number 9.
It's very sad. I think an awful lot of people are really blind on this issue and are very jaded and have bought the idea that, well, I might not do it, but it's okay for someone else. It's never okay for someone else. There's these excuses people are giving themselves. And because I used to be a progressive, I was once a volunteer for Planned Parenthood back in the 70s. And of course, God changed my heart dramatically. I understand where these people are from. And what's happened is you lie to yourself. You just lie that this would be okay for somebody else. Or if you've been a person who had an abortion, you justify it or you simply want to hide it and deny it. It's a terrible thing.
All right. That was Linda Harvey of Mission America. He had a press release early this morning from the Ohio Right to Life folks, and they say, we in the pro-life movement have the privilege of living to fight another day. Thus, today we rise to honor God and the dignity of all human life by continuing the fight to defend the innocent. Hey, listen, folks, once again, we're seeing this. We saw it in Kansas, where the pro-abortion forces came out there and won a referendum there. We understand that Arizona is their next target. So, as I say, there will be an item on the ballot in November in Ohio. It will all be about the pro-abortion forces pushing for no restrictions on abortion in that state. And so, as these Right to Life people have pointed out, the fight now continues. The fight has to be the focus on that event in November. Meanwhile, by the way, the vote in Ohio was praised by President Joe Biden. No surprise there. He understood what this vote was all about. Apparently, according to our some of our conservatives that we talked to in Ohio, a lot of folks were confused. I'm not sure why. It was pretty well out there that what yes meant and what no meant. And yet some say there was still some confusion. But President Joe Biden was not confused. He may be confused about other things, but he was not confused about what that vote was in Ohio. Speaking of President Biden, he's been in Arizona the last couple of days. And guess what? He didn't go to the border. That's where the real crisis is. Instead, he allotted more than 1 million more acres into native property so that no oil drilling can be done there, no minerals. Apparently, that area is rich in uranium, something that could be used for nuclear power plants. But apparently that has been taken off the table. But it was really interesting. This morning I was listening to an interview with South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. She was asked about Biden's visit to Arizona. And here's what she had to say about it. Very interesting. Cut number two.
So what he did is he went there to steal more federal land and make it federal land to shut down our economy and shut down our natural mineral production. And he didn't even bother to take a trip to the southern border to see the real crisis that we're dealing with.
Why is it?
You know, he doesn't want to talk about it. He wants to ignore it. He wants to fundamentally remake this country. I don't think he believes in our republic. I truly believe the policies that he has embraced are socialist. They're socialist policies, and they would destroy America. So that open border is destroying this country. And he talked a lot about our Native American tribes. What he's doing is destroying our Native American tribes. Because right here in South Dakota, we have the cartels set up on our tribal lands, and they're facilitating human trafficking. They're facilitating drug trafficking throughout this country.
I hope you caught that. The cartels are setting up on native land here in the United States of America. They're setting up their trafficking crimes, their drug crimes on native land. Of course, Joe Biden doesn't want to address that. That's why he didn't go to the border, folks, because our Border Patrol people have reported just in the last couple of days there is another surge going on our southern border. There's one report yesterday, I believe, around 700 a day encounters now at the border. And what we're seeing, thanks to some drones operated by our Border Patrol, we're starting to see more and more evidence of armed cartel people coming across the border. There was one, I think, in Eagle Pass. We saw a picture of this armed cartel member, holding a heavy-powered weapon. You have to understand what this means now, folks. We have highly weaponized Mexican cartel members now on U.S. soil. Now, this is akin. These armed cartel members are akin to terrorists, folks. This is how dangerous things have become. And yet, our Homeland Security heads, Mayorkas, testified just 10 days ago with a smirk on his face that everything is okay on our southern border. And it is not. But you know, Joe Biden has this kind of winning aspect of his fight, and that is the mainstream media does not cover this story. Fox does a pretty good job of covering this story. But you know what? Other media are just simply ignoring it. They are ignoring what this president, what the Democrats are doing with this country, allowing this invasion to continue, endangering the lives of Americans, the fentanyl that's coming across, killing the lives of many of our young people. All right, we know this is all part of spiritual warfare, folks. When we come back after the break, we're going to be talking with one of America's leading pastors about what's going on. Spiritual warfare, what this means. Signs of the times? Perhaps that's exactly what it is. All right, don't go away. This is the Wednesday edition of The Awakening. Fred here. We'll be right back with much more. And welcome back to The Awakening. Fred Jackson sitting in today. Well, if you're like me, sometimes you just wonder, what in the world is going on? What in the world is going on here in America? When we see what's happening, we had this vote in Ohio yesterday. And as I say, the backdrop to this was the pro-abortionists wanting more rights in Ohio. And they won that battle yesterday. It'll be on a ballot again in November. We look at what's happening in our nation's schools. We look at what's happening with the LGBTQ, MOUSE agenda, transgenders. We talked to Riley Gaines earlier today on one of our programs. She's the swimmer that had to compete against a guy who declared himself a girl. And, you know, and authorities seem to be going on with this. Government seem to be going along with this. So is it any wonder? We all kind of scratch our heads. What is going on? And is it all part, really, of spiritual warfare? And I thought it'd be a great idea to talk to one of our favorite pastors, one of America's favorite pastors, Dr. Robert Jeffress, a senior pastor at First Baptist Church in Dallas and also host of Pathway to Victory here on American Family Radio Monday through Friday at 6:05 in the morning. Welcome, Dr. Jeffress. You're no stranger here.
Well, Fred, always good to be with you.
What do you make of this when you see the moral state of America? You know, I was reading the first chapter of Isaiah this morning, and it's really an indictment against what was happening in Israel at that time. They had turned away from God. And I just thought to myself, I think I'm seeing this happening in America.
Well, it is happening. And I was going to invoke Isaiah's words about the time when people would call good evil and evil good. That's what's happening right now in our country. You know, once you reject the standard of God's word as the standard for absolute truth, then everybody is free to, as again, the Bible says, do what is right in his own eyes. And I think, again, the moral confusion that we see, the chaos in our world is all attributable to denouncing what the Bible says is absolute truth. I mean, the truth is God does exist. God has spoken through his word. God is the one who assigns gender. The Bible says God made them male and female, not male, female, and question mark. But if you're going to reject that truth, you know, exchange the truth of a God for a lie, then you're going to have the kind of confusion we're seeing right now.
Pastor Jeffress, this just didn't happen overnight. The country has been moving in this direction, and some, you know, there's surveys that are done all the time, what's happening with our kids in our schools and that sort of thing. Surveys about churches, some churches in the country turning away from the truth of Scripture. So this has been going on for some time.
It has been, but it's accelerated, especially the last 60 to 70 years in our nation's history. And I've spoken often on American Family Radio and other venues about the absolute indisputable fact that America was founded as a Christian nation. All you have to do is look at the earliest court rulings, the writings of our fathers, our founding fathers, to know that while we certainly have always respected people's right to believe what's wrong, we were founded on Christian principles. But about 70 years ago, beginning in the 1950s, people started saying, maybe we can be good without God. Maybe we don't need to pray in schools. Maybe we can get away from reading the Bible. We can be good without God. Well, that experiment has failed miserably. Any thinking person realizes that if you remove God, then you've removed the morality that God commands. Who is to say what is good or evil? I mean, who is the one who says it's wrong to subjugate the right of women or to abuse children? Where do we come up with right and wrong if we don't have an absolute standard? And I think that's what's happened these last 60 or 70 years, and it's accelerating.
Well, Dr. Jeffress, I've been a fan of your preaching now for many years, and I've known you've spoken at Jan Markell. Jan Markell hosts Understanding the Times here at American Family Radio on the weekends, and we look at these things, and we see Bible prophecy unfolding before our eyes. Talk a little bit about that, what you're seeing.
Well, we're going to, soon on our Pathway to Victory broadcast, we're going to be airing my series on Revelation, Final Conquest. and all of the things that we're seeing, I believe are certainly leading us toward that final 7 years of Earth's history called the Tribulation, when Christians will be raptured and when we'll see absolute evil unleashed in the world. And we'll see what a world without God, a world without Christians, indwelt by the Holy Spirit looks like. And it's not a pretty picture. What is happening now, I believe, is a foretaste of what's going to happen. And I don't believe we can predict any dates for the return of Jesus Christ and the rapture and the tribulation and the second coming. But we can know that what we're seeing right now is what Jesus called the birth pains that will precede the ultimate deliverance of this world from evil and the return of Christ. And, you know, Jesus said, when you see these things begin to increase in frequency and intensity, you'll know that the end is near. So, you know, I believe every day that passes brings the second coming of Christ even closer. And so in the sense that we use the end times as a descriptor of the time between the first and the second coming of Christ, I think we're closer to the second coming than we've ever been before.
You know, one of the stories that we deal with from time to time is the push for a digital currency, and many Christians see that as a sign of looking what happens in Revelation eventually during the tribulation period, when people will have to have a mark on their hand or their forehead to purchase something. And sometimes I can't believe what's unfolding already. There are businesses now that are requiring some kind of digital proof of who you are.
Well, and let me tell you what's even more frightening to me. There are banks right now that are basing the acceptance of customers on their political and religious beliefs.
Yeah.
We have somebody who helps us with our Pathway to Victory program who told me they live in another state, and they went to open a business checking account, and the bank refused them because they were involved in Christian programming, and they objected to some of the programs that this person helped produce and distribute, and they were refused the ability to have a bank account. Now, that's a frightening thing when you think about it, but I think that's exactly why we're headed. Now, I don't think that means we resist every attempt to modernize, because it's going to be misused at some future point. But I think we need to be aware of what's going on.
I guess even more important than that, when we see churches, some pastors who say, well, we're not going to preach from the Old Testament anymore. We don't think the Old Testament is relevant. So isn't that part of the problem, some of the confusion that we're seeing, especially among our young people?
Well, it is all of the problem. Again, it comes back to the first question that was asked in the Bible when the serpent slithered up to Eve and said, has God really said? I mean, the basis of doubting God's word is the basis for all the sin, the confusion, the chaos in our world. And today you have churches that are questioning whether God has really spoken in his word. Can you accept the Bible as being inspired by God? I have to mention that's one of the reasons I have a new book and series coming out in October called The Ten. It's based on the Ten Commandments, and it's a fresh look at God's ancient rules for living. And, you know, we think we're smarter than God. We don't need the Ten Commandments. But again, the Ten Commandments were given not to restrict our happiness, but to enhance it. And so I think it's time to go back to the Old Testament and look at the beginning words of God about how to have order in the world and how to have order in our own lives.
Some people talk about the possibility of another revival before the Lord returns and the rapture. How do you respond to those kinds of speculation?
Well, I'm certainly hopeful for it, but I'm somewhat doubtful that it's going to occur. And the reason I say this is just historically, you don't have any instance of a nation that has sunk as low as our nation that has ever had a great revival that was permanent and led the nation back to commitment to God. And that includes God's own nation of Israel. You know, we quote Second Chronicles, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and so forth. And that was given to Israel. And the fact is Israel had a temporary revival, but then it slid back into apostasy. And it's in apostasy today in rejecting Christ. So I am not hopeful that there's going to be any permanent, long-lasting American revival. But the good news is God doesn't rule by majority. The Christians have historically been in a minority, but God uses that minority empowered by the Holy Spirit to accomplish his will. So I'm not a fatalist. I believe God has a program. I think it's right on schedule, and I think it's important for the church to be a beacon of light in these darkening times.
Pastor Jeffers, always a delight to talk to you. You have a website where people can go and perhaps get some resources on this?
Right. Our Pathway to Victory resource, ptv.org. It has all of our material free of charge, and all the messages can be downloaded.
Dr. Jeffers, God bless you. We appreciate what you do, what you preach each day, and your program here at American Family Radio, Monday through Friday at 6:05 a.m. Great to be with you, sir. Take care.
Great to be with you, Fred. Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right, and it is great to be with you, folks. We still have freedoms in this country to do what we're doing here today. We have Christian radio that can still reach out with the gospel and with the truth of what's going on out there. That's what we attempt to do each day here at American Family Radio. Much more ahead on this edition of The Awakening. Don't go away. We're back right after the break.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Let me tell you a story. It's the story of Old Joe. Old Joe was one of those fellows who didn't like to be pushed around. He was just tired of paying taxes, didn't like the way the government was being run, and in general had had it with anything that smacked of authority. In fact, old Joe didn't even like to pull over for emergency vehicles. He felt that they just used their sirens to get through traffic about 99% of the time. Well, one afternoon, old Joe was driving through some heavy traffic when an ambulance pulled up behind him. Its siren was blowing loud and clear. Old Joe looked in his mirror and saw the ambulance coming up his lane. Since there was heavy traffic, old Joe knew that the ambulance couldn't get through unless he pulled over. Very shortly, the ambulance was on old Joe's bumper. Inside himself, he was wondering if he should pull over to let the vehicle pass. Then a brilliant idea flashed in old Joe's mind. Now was the time to get even with those people who drive ambulances. Old Joe made the decision that he would stay in his lane and keep that ambulance from passing. He laughed inside himself because the opportunity had presented itself. The ambulance kept its siren going at full blast. But old Joe, determined to get even, just kept driving his leisurely, slow pace. In fact, he even slowed down a little. The ambulance driver began to blow his horn and motion for old Joe to move over. But old Joe did exactly what he wanted to do. He didn't move over. And he didn't pay any attention to the ambulance driver. He simply acted as if he didn't hear the siren. Well, for quite a distance, old Joe kept that ambulance from passing. He managed to get his car in position several times at key locations to make sure that the ambulance couldn't pass. Following several minutes of keeping the ambulance behind him, old Joe soon approached the street which led to his house. He was tempted not to turn, just to keep the emergency vehicle behind him for a longer time. But when he got to the street that led to his house, he decided that he had had enough fun and turned. While making his turn, he was thinking that he had showed them. He'd gotten even, and he wasn't going to be pushed around anymore. But when he turned, the ambulance turned also. This pleased old Joe tremendously, because he could still keep it from passing for a few more houses. Well, when he got to his house, old Joe gave his signal and turned into his driveway. But, much to his surprise, The ambulance turned into his driveway also. He'd seen the anger on the ambulance driver's face, and old Joe figured that the driver had followed him to fight. So old Joe jumped out of his car, ran to the ambulance, jerked open the driver's door, and started fighting. By the time the other attendant and some of the neighbors could get things under control, old Joe's wife was at the door shouting, "Where have you been with that ambulance? You should have been here 10 minutes ago. Little Joe is barely breathing." Well, they finally got little Joe to the hospital. The doctor said if they had been there 10 minutes earlier, he might have lived. Old Joe, he got even all right, but in getting even, he lost. Life usually works that way. Now, is this a true story? The incident could be. The moral it teaches is.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
And welcome back to this Wednesday edition of The Awakening. Fred in today, sitting in the chair. Tomorrow, I believe it's Dr. Alex McFarland will be here, and I'll be back on Friday once again. And ahead of our new host that arrives on Monday, looking forward to that. In the meantime, 888-589-8840 is the number to call. 888-589-8840. Your thoughts on the results of that special election held yesterday in Ohio. A huge turnout for the pro-abortion crowd. And we know abortion, isn't it amazing that we live in a day and age when a major political party, that being the Democrats in this country, their major political issue is abortion rights, the taking of the lives of unborn babies. And I guess that speaks to what we were talking with Dr. Jeffress about a few moments ago, that we are in spiritual warfare in this country. When abortion is being celebrated by one of the major political parties, and they're fighting for even more unfettered abortion rights in various states across the country, they were so upset about the Dobbs decision back there a few years ago that they've declared all-out war in favor of pushing abortion rights. And that's exactly what they're doing, and that's exactly what the vote was for in Ohio. But as we were talking with Pastor Jeffress, this is all part of spiritual warfare, folks. And I think even a lot of Christians have to wake up to that, the reality of it. And, you know, that's where reading Scripture and what and the testimonies that we have in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that this warfare is going to continue until the Lord returns and sets up his kingdom someday. So we're optimistic. The Lord wins in the end, folks. But in the meantime, you and I are here. God has selected this time in the history of mankind to have you and to have me here at this time to be aware of this battle, to be shining lights. We need to take our candles and show them high and show them why we believe what we believe, and that we need to tell them of a Savior that came to pay the price for our sins, and that we can have an eternal home in heaven if we accept what Jesus Christ accomplished for us on that cross. So there's great opportunity. When people ask you, okay, why do you stand against abortion? You can tell them why. Because God creates life from conception. Therefore, it is a human being from conception. And abortion involves the taking of an innocent human life, which is murder. Plain and simple. So you tell people that. And the reason you believe that is because you believe in the God of the Bible. And we have to be more vocal about those kinds of things, folks. Yeah, there's a lot of political garbage going on out there. No question about it. But use the opportunity when it comes along, when people ask you what you believe, why you believe it, use that opportunity to share the gospel with people. That is so important. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Would love to hear from you. You know, sometimes our political events get somewhat humorous. I was reading a story this morning about Vice President Kamala Harris. She is planning on holding a what she calls a grassroots reception at Martha's Vineyard. Now, if you know anything about Martha's Vineyard, it is known as the playground for America's rich and famous. Yet she's calling it a grassroots reception. A lot of people are being invited, apparently. Wealthy individuals, including a bank executive, former Obama official, political consultant, and an actor, of course. Somebody from Hollywood has to be there. Ticket prices for this so-called grassroots reception range from $50 to $10,000. Sure, just put it on the visa. Yeah, I'll go to that reception. Come on. They are out of touch, aren't they? And you know what? Biden is out there selling his Bidenomics. And was very interesting yesterday. I was reading a couple of headlines here. Americans are pulling money out of their 401k plans at an alarming rate. The number of people who made a hardship withdrawal during the second quarter of this year surged from the first 3 months of the year to 15,950, an increase of 36% from the second quarter of 2022. And that's according to the Bank of America. Biden is telling us everything is wonderful. The economic recovery is just going grand. Well, if that's the case, why are people being forced to pull money out of their 401ks? And here was the other headline. Credit card balances jumped in the second quarter and are above $1 trillion for the first time. What? That's not B. That's not billion. That's $1 trillion of credit card debt. Now, both those things, for withdrawing with 401k, credit card balances above $1 trillion for the first time in the history of this country, those are hardly can be diagnosed as symptoms of a great recovery going on in this country. People are hurting. They're hurting, and that's why they're having to do this. Rental properties, I just can't get over it. One-bedroom apartments, even in smaller communities in this country, going for $1,200 a month? Who can afford this kind of thing? Yet, you know, Biden, and here's the reason he gets away with it, because the mainstream media is not holding him accountable. That's the bottom line in all of this. 888-589-8840, the number to call, 888-589-8840. I guess the question is America going to wake up? Is it going to wake up? Let's talk to Mike in West Virginia. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you for taking my call. I don't want anyone to think that there's anything in Scripture that should be ignored, but don't you think that if too many people think we're living in the last days of the end times, that millions of Christians might stay home on Election Day?
I don't know why they would, because we're supposed to be salt and light, and I believe part of being salt and light is to get out and vote. But even beyond that, as we've been seeing in some jurisdictions, I think people, if the Lord is leading them in a direction to get involved politically, run for city council, run for school board, all of those sorts of things. As I was saying, we are not here just to wait for the Lord's return. We hope in that. But we are not here just to wait for his return. We're to be active. We're to be out there. We are to be that salt and light. So Mike, the answer to your question, no. If you're reading by the Bible and you believe in the God of the Bible, he has us here for a purpose right now. And that purpose doesn't mean sit back and let evil win. Not at all. And you go to Scripture and you will see those who have fought the good fight through the years are those who stay engaged and did not sit back and wait. So I would say to anyone who has the attitude, well, I'm just going to wait for the Lord to return, then you're not carrying out the Lord's will. Ed in Mississippi, go ahead.
Yes, sir. My question is, you have people who sit in the church who claim to be Christ followers, but yet support a party that their platform is abortion. So I was just asking your thoughts on that, and how could you go pull the lever for a party that supports that and claim to be a Christ follower also? So I'll hang up and listen to you, sir.
Yeah, great question, Ed. I think what happens sometimes, and I'll talk a little bit more about this after the break. I have to go to a break here. But I think what sometimes one of the reasons is it becomes family tradition that, you know, my grandfather, my father, they all voted for this one party, and I'm going to do the same to be loyal to them. But you know what? Party policies, in particular, and I'll say both Democrat and Republican to a certain extent, they have changed their priorities. Many people say the Democratic Party today is not the Democratic Party of yesterday. So I think you have to look, study yourself, become aware of what parties stand for, and get out there and vote on the knowledge that you should have of where these parties stand. As for Christians, according to Scripture. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. And we are back to this Wednesday edition of The Awakening, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We're going to go back to the phones in just a second, but I wanted to get this story in today. You know, Joe Biden out there talking climate change and wants everybody to buy a $50,000, $60,000 electric car and get on electric buses and all of that sort of thing. So I read with interest, and it kind of goes to, you know, it's kind of humorous, but it points to there is reality, and then what this Biden Democratic Party is telling us. The electric bus maker Proterra has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy a little more than 2 years after the California-based public company received praise from President Biden for being the future of the EV industry. Well, there you have it. And that bankruptcy announcement from Proterra comes amid an announcement just a few days ago, back in June, when the EV startup Lordstown Motors filed for bankruptcy protection in June. So what's going on here? Well, there is the preaching from Joe Biden and John Kerry, his climate change czar, about this is the future, this is good for America, and by the way, we're going to take away your gas-operated stoves, and we're going to change the parameters on what kind of air conditioners you can buy. But here's the reality. These companies are going bankrupt because people say, I can't afford this. I can't. That's the reality. Same thing happened under Barack Obama, folks. I don't know if you remember Solyndra, California company that made solar panels. Barack Obama sunk over $500 million of taxpayers' money into that company, and guess what happened? It went bankrupt. So that's why we have to start holding our politicians accountable. They make these boneheaded decisions. America cannot survive on all electric vehicles and electric buses. That ain't going to happen, folks. It's simply not going to happen. And we all know the hypocrisy of this. It's going to be a long time before Air Force One is run by windmills. They're going to have fossil fuels, folks, to do it. We all know this. You know, we're practical. We live in the real world. But these folks get up there in their ivory towers and they lose touch with us. Plus, they're following a very radical, radical agenda and trying to impose it on America. And it's not going to work, folks. That's the bottom line. Sean in Ohio, go ahead, please. Go ahead, Sean.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Can you hear? Okay, good. Well, real quick, I'll put my question in and hang up and listen to you. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Hmm. I mean, we had this election yesterday, and it was for humanitarian reasons, and these people have zero interest in humanitarianism. How do we as Christians expect these people to coalesce with us? Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Well, we saw it in the results, Sean. There were hundreds of thousands who voted against this effort to move the constitutional parameter for amendments up to 60%. And the real story was a measure that's being voted on in November that basically takes away any restrictions against abortions there in Ohio. But we live in the day and age when I go back to Matthew chapter 7. You know, broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many people are on that. And the rest of us are on that narrow road. And so we have to define what victory is many times. Victory is being faithful. Our founder, Brother Don, you often hear him in a speech that he gave many years ago. It's about being faithful. And sometimes being faithful doesn't mean you win all the elections, but it's about being faithful. And as I said before, telling people, I'm voting this way, and here's the reason why. I'm a Christian, and this is what the Bible speaks to these various issues. That's where we have to be. That's where we have to be. We won't win every election. We won't win every special election, but we have to be faithful. Mark in Tennessee, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Is this Mr. Jackson?
It is.
Oh, nice to talk with you. My comment is, I remember back during the first term of former President Barack Obama, he made a statement, we're going to fundamentally transform America.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always often wondered why he wasn't brought before the United States Senate and questioned about that, because that could be interpreted as being a treasonous statement.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, I think what he was talking about is change it into a socialist nation. I don't think there's any question. He said, yeah, we're going to transform America. And he went a step further because he has a big ego. He says, we're going to transform the world. And remember, they gave him a Nobel Peace Prize, I think, before he'd been in office a couple of weeks. But that's just where the world's thinking is. It's globalism. It is believing in mankind. That's why, you know, when it talks about, you know, man can do something about climate change. I think it's possible that God may change our climate, but it's very arrogant to say, well, man can do something to stop it. No. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, in the summertime, you fly into Los Angeles, you see all kinds of pollution. But talking about global climate change and changing the global climate, mankind's not going to do that. That's not going to happen. That's under God's control. God controls the weather, folks. And I think it's just part of this arrogance that we have seen down through history. It's kind of like when men, in the wake of the flood, eventually men try to make a Tower of Babel, their own religion. And right now we're looking at people who believe in the religion of self, of mankind, of man being in control of things. And be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you shall also reap. And this climate change campaign, this climate change religion, is mocking our God. Joel in Texas, go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, Fred. Your comments about the economy, I believe the Americans are creating willfully economic slavery. The middle class is dissolving, and I think the Democrat Party is fine with that, because once they've got everyone as an economic slave, they can dictate policy. I think as Christians, we need to live frugally, continue to give generously, and when people ask why we're not stressed out about the bad economy, we have a reason to tell them, because we're following scriptural direction given by God to live within our means and be generous toward others. But I told my kids, if you're in debt, you're a slave. Yeah. And that's where people are putting themselves.
Yeah. Hey, listen, excellent, excellent points, and excellent points about parroting right now. Because I believe what's happening is part of the climate change agenda is really to control people's lives. When you have a government today that's talking about, well, we're not going to allow you to have gas-operated stoves, and we're not going to allow you to do this and do that. I mean, we're starting to see some of the evidence of this radical climate change. A community in Britain somewhere where they're talking about a 15-mile zone that you can only move outside that zone 100 times a year, and they say they want you to walk to work and walk to the grocery store because you're a danger to the climate if you're in your car too much. I honestly believe, if the Lord tarries, there's going to be a real push that basically And I think the radical leftists know this, that people aren't going to be able to afford electric vehicles, and they're going to try to force people onto public vehicles, and that's just a way to control folks. And again, that's the agenda of the radical left, is to control. That's why they're so upset with Ron DeSantis down in Florida. He wants to give control back to parents. And what we saw in Virginia, control back to parents. And that's why we have a Justice Department that has been fighting that in Washington. They want control of your kids' education, so they can turn them into little clones of their ideology. That's an opinion. Mike in Missouri, go ahead.
Yeah, real quick. You know, there's two reasons electric vehicles won't work. One, we can't sustain it. And the other reason is people can't afford them and they don't want them. Ford just posted over a $4 billion loss in their electric vehicle sales. So people aren't buying them. They don't want them.
That's
right. You can pitch them. You can do all you want, but people don't want them.
Nope. That's right. And that, in the end, that's what's going to win too. But you know what? People are going to have to vote in that direction as well. I'm going to try to squeeze in Raymond. One more call. Go ahead. Raymond, are you with us? Go ahead. Okay. I'm afraid, Raymond, I apologize. Having some problems there with that phone. But, you know, really good calls today. Good calls, good thoughts here as far as knowing the reality of what's going on, what's really behind the agenda there. And as we look at what's happening in America today, we have to make, number one, make an honest assessment of what's going on, but also avoid having a defeatist attitude. We are called upon to be faithful in these times. We ought to be talking about these issues. We ought to be educating our families first, using the opportunities in our churches, our Sunday school classes, to talk about this and how it relates to spiritual warfare, how it relates to what Scripture teaches about the end times. And then we ought to be ready for this sort of thing. We ought not to be taken by surprise by these things like the push for more abortion rights. We ought not to be surprised by these political, economic agendas. It's all part of where the rebellion against God goes eventually. But you know, as we always say, God wins in the end. This is not taking him by surprise, folks, and it ought not to take us by surprise. Let us all kind of just really dig in and recommit ourselves to be faithful. Great to be with you today, and more Greg programming as always ahead here at American Family Radio. Lord willing, we'll see you again on Friday. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.